chanting slogans about fighting against terrorism while housing, giving support, and giving safe haven to them. He demanded that all Palestinians finally be allowed to vote in referendums and in a transparent manner to decide their fate. Regarding the JCPOA, Raisi emphasized, "The important issue that matters today is sanctions relief." He continued, "Iran's need for guarantees is due to the bitter experience of America's prior noncompliance with the accord. The only side that kept living up to their side of the bargain was the Islamic Republic of Iran." While on the election campaign last year, one of Raisi's key themes was the idea that the world is not just the West.
"Our foreign policy is based on engagement with everyone, Eastern as well as Western. The previous administration targeted the West a bit more, but now we have adopted a more balanced approach. Any country which wants to have engagement with us, we will certainly pave the way to work with them, and with a priority to our neighboring countries."
Raisi's first speech at the United Nations seemed to fall on deaf ears in much of the Western media, even though it was full of progressive political ideals, such as the duty to help neighboring countries in hardship, the total refusal to obtain nuclear weapons, and the rejection of capitalism over morality.
"Arrogance. Some countries see themselves as more than or superior to others, perhaps because of their financial or military capabilities, and this is a true cause of oppression."
Many believe that few countries are as unobjectively and negatively portrayed by the Western mainstream media as Iran. Raisi's press conference was a chance for Western reporters to consider the Iranian view. Many hope their coverage will be more balanced in the future. Ramin Mazahari, New York City.
Tensions between British Hindus and Muslims have escalated recently, with the unrest mostly involving young men from both communities and leading to scuffles and assaults. On Tuesday, hundreds of masked Muslim men descended on a Hindu temple in Birmingham. Local Muslims were furious over a recent attempt by the temple to platform a hardline Indian preacher.
"Things are a bit tasty here, but ultimately the reason that they've gathered in these numbers is because this centre was planning to platform a very notorious BJP representative who espouses the Hindutva fascist ideology, which is very prominent in India right now and is responsible for a lot of anti-Muslim hate crimes which have taken place there. That ideology has essentially been exported now, unfortunately, into the streets of Britain, and it's been leading up to the point over months."
Tuesday's unrest was sparked following a Hindu mob marching through Muslim-majority areas in the nearby city of Leicester on Saturday, chanting Hindutva slogans. Eyewitnesses say the marchers attacked local Muslim businesses and intimidated the community. Local police failed to stop the rally, which was later confronted by a crowd of Muslims. According to some reports, the violence flared up after a recent Asia Cup cricket match between arch-rivals India and Pakistan. However, Muslims in Leicester have been routinely targeted by Hindu thugs way before the match.
"And they think they can do the same thing here what they can do in India. We've lived with Hindus for decades and never had any issues with them whatsoever until these guys came along. These young men came along. And they've caused so much grief here. And the most Muslims here are very peaceful. They've turned the other cheek for so long, turned the other cheek, called the police. Police haven't done anything. Their inaction has caused this. So I blame the police for this."
As UK police scramble to investigate many incidents, the feud has gone global, as India and Pakistan's high commissions issued passionate statements condemning either side of the divide, fading any hopes of a quick solution to the chaos. Robert Carter, Leicester.
Questions and answers in Islamic upbringing.
"I have a son. He's really in fond of football, and he's so weak in his lesson courses. I really don't know what should I do."
"Could you tell me when we have to start upbringing of our kids, that is, from the very beginning of the birth?"
"I have a little son, and He's so disrespectful. I want to know how to treat him according to the teachings of the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them.
Answering parents' questions in upbringing their children in an Islamic way.
Do you know what Islam is? It's a way of life for all. It is taught in the Quran for big and small.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. You're listening to the program Islamic Upbringing. In this program, we discuss your queries regarding the upbringing of your children. The answers are based upon the Noble Quran and the narrations of Prophet Muhammad, may peace be upon him and his purified progeny. Today in our studio, we have with us our guest speaker, Brother Miqdad. He's an Islamic researcher in the Hawza Ilmiya of Qom. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullah.
A very warm welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for accepting the invitation. Well, Brother Miqdad, in our previous sessions, we have been talking about the animation world, the games world, and what kind of worldview they portray and how a parent should be aware about that. You gave us a few examples. I want to ask you, is there any more worldview that's being portrayed, or are there more examples you would like to add?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So we've been talking about bringing awareness to parents as well as youth about the dangers of the screen. So screen being animations or video games or cartoons or movies or serials, whatever it is. And we said that the first thing that we need to understand is that we need to be concerned. Right? Okay. What we're going to do about this is another discussion. It's a different chapter in this book. But the first thing that we want to do is really understand and be aware that this is something concerning that we need to be aware of, that we cannot by any means leave our children on the screen unsupervised for hours long without knowing what they're getting involved in. And just saying that there's no adult content in it is not sufficient at all. So in the previous show, we talked about how the screen is an education, is not just pure entertainment. In most of the time, at the very least, we can say in most times, in most circumstances, the screen, so video games or animations or serials, are not pure and just empty entertainment, but rather it's an education. It changes the way we think. It changes our values, our goals, our principles in lives.
Yeah.
And so this worldview, how it's changed, we talked about a few examples in the previous show. We talked about Moana Entangled in the theme of girls being free.
Yeah.
We talked about sandbox game like Minecraft.
True.
To give a couple more examples and then move on, the example of how we define or how we understand the importance of success and how to get to success.
All right.
So one of the themes that you find that's portrayed out there that changed our worldview mm-hmm. is this attitude of, or this is this theme that luck is very important, and that we don't need as much effort as we need luck in becoming successful.
All right. So it's your fortune that will take you, that will define your destiny.
That's correct.
All right.
So you find that today's culture is kind of governed by this idea that we all want to become a millionaire overnight.
All right.
So the whole worldview out there is effort is good, but we're always chasing this overnight millionaire. That something will just lucky, something will happen out of luck, and we'll just get to something. And you find that this then goes into other areas, not just material areas. And you find that, for example, just to give an idea, if you look at all the superheroes that we have out there, right? So Ben 10 and Spider-Man and Superman and what you name all of them, you find that in 90% of the superheroes, if not all of them, their human perfection, or let's say the perfection that they have, is never out of an effort that they've made.
All right.
It's always out of a luck. So whether they found a watch, or they were bitten by a spider, or they came from a random place, or something random and purely fortune happened to them that made them achieve a type of perfection that other human beings don't have.
All right.
And so this is completely opposite to what we say in Islam.
Real life.
Yeah, or in real life as well.
Yeah.
So in Islam, we have this idea that it is efforts that lead you to perfection, right?
All right.
وَلَيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى. Human being doesn't have anything except what he gains through his efforts, through his actions.
Exactly. We'll talk more on that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents A Priceless Gift to Parents. Do you have problem with your kids?
I have two boys. One is 5-year-old and the other one is 3.5. And they constantly fight and wrestle with each other, and it often gets to a dangerous stage.
My 18-month-old daughter has learned to eat by herself, and she just refuses that I feed her. But usually, all the food basically goes everywhere except her mouth. So how can we allow this strife to happen for the purpose of freedom?
Don't worry. We're here to help.
For a child, the purpose of the food is only to feed. It's also for him to learn. It's also for him to explore and fulfill the need of curiosity, fulfill the need of freedom.
Islamic upbringing. Contact us. EnglishRadio@irib.ir.
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother Miqdad, and we're discussing about animations, video games, and what kind of effects these screens have for children, or what kind of world view is being portrayed. Yes, Brother Miqdad, you said so far that we are being introduced to the games in which girls have to be free, they have to go against all the norms, all the beliefs, all the ideas and values. And there are games that show you there should be there's no purpose in life. You have to design it yourself. And we also came to the point that you have to wait for luck. Fortune defines your destiny. It's not much of your efforts, which is very opposite to what is being taught in Islam.
So these were three examples that I gave.
Yeah.
So on this last example, if you look at, perhaps somebody might ask, but what about the Ahlul Bayt, for example? Haven't they received this human perfection from birth? And the answer is yes. But it was based on their efforts as well. It
okay.
is based on the fact that Allah knew that they will perform the best of actions in this world. So even in the case of the Ahlul Bayt, their human perfection that they've achieved, and them being true superheroes, it is not out of luck. It is rather out of their actions that they commit and they perform in this world that leads them to that highest level of human perfection.
True.
Inshallah, you can refer to more on this on books of Aqaid, but this is the true true Islamic worldview, that what human perfection we can achieve, how to become superheroes, how to be successful, is through our effort and not through luck. So this is another example. Another example we can talk about is this idea that everything is material, and
right.
there is no reality other than material reality. And
right.
so this is a very common thing you find in all, if not most of the things that we interact with on the screen, because the producers of these animations and video games and serials, etc., are from a secular background. They're from
yeah.
a empiristic and modern background, which means that they believe that reality is that which is sensed in with the five senses, and that we have no reality beyond that which is material.
All right.
So just to give an example, in Ice Age, right? Ice Age 3, if I remember correctly, heaven, how is heaven portrayed? Heaven is a world, a material world with material pleasure, right? Take the example of Up, where you find that they, throughout the movie, throughout the animation, they're searching for this heavenly garden, you would call, right?
Okay.
Not only to realize that that wasn't what was important. What was important was what they had in this world.
All right.
So at the end, if you remember the end of the animation, they come back to this world and say, that which we have was very beautiful. That which we had in this world was very important.
All right. Then actually reversing the concept. Exactly. That is being taught in Islam. All right. There's more to talk on this, and we'll talk about that after a short break. Dear listeners, stay tuned to IRIB English Radio.
The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam said, "No father has granted a gift to his child better than good manners."
Welcome back. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. This is Islamic Upbringing. I'm with Brother McDaad, and we are talking about video games, animations, what kind of effects it have on children, and what is the Islamic worldview. Well, Brother McDaad, in our previous episodes, you talked about a few things that were changing the mindset of girls. You said that there are a few games that show that girls, the definition of free is being defined as girls must go against the norms, against their parents, against the beliefs that they carry or their parents have, against all the rituals that are existing in their societies, against the values. I want to ask you here, what does Islam say? Does Islam restrict girls?
The answer to that is no. So obviously, the Islamic idea of success for a woman is the same as a success for a man, because success in Islamic terms is not gender limited.
Okay.
So the human perfection that a man can achieve is the same perfection that the woman can achieve. So, and you have examples and role models for that in the Holy Quran as well. So Hazrat Zahra is obviously a pure role model for human perfection that is achieved. She is the same as Amir al-Mu'minin. She is kuf for Amir al-Mu'minin, Imam Ali alayhi salam, which means that their human perfection is at the highest level that can be achieved.
All right.
The Holy Quran, for example, you have the example of Maryam alayhi salam and the wife of Fir'aun, both of whom are role models for not just women, but believers. In the Holy Quran, the word that is used for them too is that both of them are role models for believers, men and women. Doesn't make any difference. The gender in terms of human perfection has no is not a limitation. However, when it comes to the path towards achieving that perfection, because the world is such that there is differences in these two genders when it comes to the material world, so
yeah.
Responsibility is at the level of society. Family, etc., are different. Therefore, the path upon which both of these genders have to track on might look different in some ways, and this will lead to laws being also different for men and women.
Exactly.
Especially when it comes to laws that are related to society, just because there's differences between them, but that which they can achieve is the same in terms of that high level of perfection.
Exactly. And also about these two pious ladies, Surah Tahrim says that it's not necessary that a woman to be a role model has to be a wife of a prophet, because Maryam was not wife of any prophet, and Lady Asiya was wife of Pharaoh. So they can be role models as such, like on their own, independently, reaching that highest perfection. Thank you so much, Brother McDaad, for being with us. Thank you so much, dear listeners. You were listening to IRIB English Radio. Until another session, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Do you know what Islam says? It says that life's the greatest test. It says that life's a borrowed space, returns upon rest. A way of life, a way of life, a way of life, a way of life. Islam is a way of life, a complete way.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 megahertz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5 and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
This is A to Z. An introduction into an Islamic lifestyle. Today's lesson, Principles of Friendship. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome everyone. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. And in today's topic, we are talking about the principles of friendship. Friendship is indeed a very important part of life of any human being in this world. Thus, everyone who has a friend in life, whatever they met with, if you met with that particular person, maybe in school, in the place of work where you met with the person, you need to make sure that we are coming up with good principles during this particular relationship between that particular person and the other person, because they've not been together since they were born. They just met outside the normal life. This was from this family and the other one was from the other family. They met up together. So what are the principles that these two people need to look upon, need to practice in order to bring out or to bring up a good friendship relationship, if I can call it that way? So you see that we have teachings from the Prophet Muhammad and teachings from the Holy Quran that really reflect to us on what we should be doing in order to bring out a good standing friendship relationship. Now, all these teachings and guidance show that a selfish person will never attract friends towards himself. One of the things that one needs to look at is, one needs to be careful of, is the selfishness in that particular relationship. You need to keep yourself away from being selfish, because you are coming together with this person. That means you like him or you like her, and she likes you or he likes you back. So by liking each other means that you need not to bring out selfishness within you. Whatever things you see that you love for them to have, please let them have it and stop being selfish, because that way it's going to lower the quality of this particular relationship. We're coming back in a few minutes. Allah.
IRIB English Radio. Our website is parsetoday.com.
You can email us at englishradio@irib.ir. La ilaha illallah.
Welcome back. You're listening to A to Z program from the IRIB English Radio. I'm your host, Hussein Hinzano. Now, we are talking about the principles of friendship. We are talking about selfishness here. Someone being selfish towards the other part of friend, or towards their friend. You have a friend, you are friends together, you've been friends together for a while, and you being selfish, there are things that you need to be sharing to them, you need to let them have, you're not letting them have. We're not just talking about money here or worldly issues. We're not talking about objects. Objects are part of it, but not just about the objects. Sometimes it's about an advice, let's say. You're having this particular person, you're living together, you're seeing that he's not doing things the right way, or he's not doing things the way he's supposed to be doing them. He's going on the wrong side. You need to sit down and tell them, stop being selfish. Tell them, don't let them go astray. Don't let them do wrong. Just tell them, hey, whatever you're doing is wrong and it's going to lead you in this and this particular bad way. So please correct your habit because it's going to make you good. That's not being selfish. That's being unselfish. That's showing them that you love them so much that you are advising them on how to be good persons, how to be good people. So selfishness in terms of the mentality and the quality of life that you're living. And sometimes also, yeah, selfishness in terms of the material objects, let's say like money or whatever it is you're sharing together. Let's say it's clothes, it's money, it's cars, it's textile or the house or anything. You're having this particular person as your friend, let them share with you what you're having, because by sharing it together, it builds that love between you two and it brings the bond, it makes the bond to be much stronger in your life and thus improving your friendship between you two. So one of the principles that we need to be careful of, that we need to take care of is selfishness. Let's stop being selfish in friendship. Let's be as unselfish as possible in order for us to build a good, mature friendship between us and the people we are meeting outside. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. Until next episode, inshallah, fi imanillah, wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Of the life of Imam Reza, peace be upon him. In the name of God, the merciful, the compassionate. Condolences, dear listeners. Today, Iran is in a state of grief with a public holiday in commemoration of the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, the 8th infallible successor of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Stay tuned for a special feature in this regard, please. In Ayah 38 of Surah An'am of the Noble Quran, the Almighty informs mankind, "We have not neglected anything in this book. The words of God are beyond an iota of doubt. The All-Merciful Creator does not leave humanity in the dark." In other words, it is blasphemy to think that the last messenger to mankind, the Prophet of Islam, departed from the world without explicitly naming his vicegerent to guide the Ummah towards the eternal bliss of paradise and away from the blazing fire of hell. On the last day of the month of Safar, that ends the two-month mourning period for the immortal martyrs of Karbala, and which happens to be the martyrdom anniversary of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, let us cast a glance at what this blessed personality, whose holy shrine in Mashhad acts as a lodestar for not just the people of Iran, but for millions of Muslims from throughout the world, has said in this regard. During a debate in the city of Marv in Khorasan, where he was forced to come from his hometown, Medina, by the Abbasid Caliph Ma'mun, when the issue of the Prophet's succession came up, the eighth Imam said, "Indeed, God did not take the soul of his messenger without explaining everything about the divine creed. With its rich contents, the Quran was revealed to the Prophet. The Imamat is therefore the sign of perfection of religion. Before passing away, the Prophet left guides for his companions and his followers. He showed them the straight path. The Prophet managed everything properly so that the Ummah might not suffer lack of anything it needs. If somebody imagines that religion has not been perfected by God, he is actually rejecting the divine book, that is, the Noble Quran. Such a person is but a heathen." The discourse of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, does not end here. It is lengthy. Interested listeners can refer to such authoritative works as Al-Kafi and Tuhaful Uqul in this regard. The discourse of the Imam cites different ayahs of the Noble Quran to prove the dynamism of the Imamat, including God's answer to the request of Prophet Abraham after making him Imam of mankind, that this divine trust will never be granted to the unjust and the oppressors. On listening to this rational argument, the reaction of a crafty tyrant like Ma'mun, whose forebears had usurped the caliphate and were persecuting the Prophet's rightful successors, was one of anguish and alarm. It was obvious he had miserably miscalculated in bringing the eighth Imam to his court and forcing upon him the position of heir apparent in belief that this would tarnish the immaculate image of Imamat and drive a wedge between the Imam and the Ummah. He thought that the people could be misled to think that the Ahlul Bayt had succumbed to the trappings of worldly pomp. He was mistaken. Like all blundering dictators, the Abbasid Caliph had unwittingly provided a much larger public forum for the Imam to spell out the divine authority of velaya, or succession to prophethood. Whatever he plotted backfired. It was the era of influx of new sciences and ideas due to the translation into Arabic of Greek and Sanskrit works. Ma'mun accordingly arranged debates between Imam Reza, peace be upon him, and the scholars of other religions and schools of philosophical thought, on the assumption that they would outsmart the Prophet's heir. But to his indignation, he found that it was he and the scholars who were outsmarted. The convincing discourses of Imam Reza, peace be upon him, on a wide variety of topics and his clearing of doubts made the non-Muslim religious leaders as well as the intellectuals priding on the new sciences realize their own waywardness in the face of the rationality of genuine Islam. His knowledge was God-given and covered every topic under the sun. It ranged from spiritual and cultural issues to the realm of science. There is a book attributed to the 8th Imam in the medical field titled Taburreza. It has been translated into several languages and contains important prescriptions and valuable guidelines, including cure for different ailments and proper dietary and hygienic habits. Once, when a Christian bishop insisted that Jesus, peace be upon him, was the Son of God, Imam Reza, peace be upon him, pointed out the absurdity of such a belief by saying Jesus was a prophet, since the Almighty Creator is far glorious to have human characteristics and the need for a son. The latter challenged him to prove this from the Bible. The Imam referred to the Gospel of St. John, where Jesus gives tidings of the prophet to come after him. The bishop was amazed at the Imam's mastery of the Christian scriptures, but still stuck to his misconstrued belief by focusing on the miracle of Jesus in reviving the dead. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, said, "Such miracles were also performed by the will of God, by other divine messengers, including the last and the greatest of them all, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny." The bishop felt enlightenment in his heart, acknowledged the truth of Islam, and became a Muslim. Imam Reza, peace be upon him, never allowed the worldly power of the Abbasid court to taint his spirituality. Once, while he was in Khorasan, he distributed his entire wealth amongst the poor on the day of Arafat, that is, 9th of Zilhijjah. When Ma'mun's vizier, Fazl ibn Sahl, came to know about this, he told the Imam, "Now you are bankrupt." To the surprise of the vizier, the Imam replied, "On the contrary, I am now wealthier than ever. Do not consider trading my wealth for Allah's rewards and pleasure as bankruptcy." The 8th Imam lived a simple life, always mixing with the poor and the have-nots of the society. It is related that whenever he was about to eat his meal, he would bring a large platter and select the choicest food on the table and put on it. Then he would order it to be given away to the poor. After that, he would recite ayahs of the Noble Quran. Then he would say, "Allah the Exalted and the Sublime knows that not everyone has the ability to free a slave. Nevertheless, he found means for them to achieve paradise by feeding others." Thus, does the Imam sensing the weight of deprivation under which the poor moan and suffer, therefore shared his best food with the poor and the deprived in response to the call of humanity and kindness, and in harmony with the spirit of the message with which Allah entrusted him. These dynamic examples of the Imam's noble character failed to impress the self-styled caliph. As a matter of fact, the pool of usurped power was so blinding for the sick and polluted heart of Ma'mun that it sank further into the dark corridors of malice and rancor. After a series of incidents that endeared the 8th Imam more than ever to the masses, including the famous incident of 8th prayer in Marv, which we have to leave out because of shortage of time, the Abbasid usurper decided to martyr the Prophet's rightful heir. While in the city of Tus, he forced him to eat poisoned grapes, as a result of which Imam Reza, peace be upon him, left the world and was laid to rest in that city whose fame as Mashhad continues to attract pilgrims from all over the globe today. No wonder Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, had made explicitly clear as to who his righteous heirs were and how they will suffer hardships and martyrdom to guide the Ummah in every age and era until the 12th one will rise as Mahdi al-Qa'im to cleanse the world of all traces of corruption and exploitation and establish the global government of peace and justice. Thus, Imam Reza, peace be upon him, who was born in 148 AH in Medina and who was laid to rest in Mashhad in 203 AH, on his martyrdom for the cause of monotheism, spared no efforts to enlighten mankind. No doubt, Iran, his resting place, was destined to become the Islamic Republic and the harbinger to the world of the pristinely pure monotheistic global government of peace and justice of Imam Mahdi. God hasten his reappearance.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا.
قد دعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
ناجيتك أرجو غفرانك يا من ينجينا إحسان. ودعوتك ربي بقرآني.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وآله الطاهرين.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد وجل فرجه.
السلام عليكم respected brothers and sisters, and welcome to Let's Recite the Quranic Kareem, a series of Quranic sessions held by IRIB English Radio in cooperation with Sevier International Schools Network. Salaam alaikum, Hussein Ruhullah, Ali Nasir, and Fawad Haider. How are you?
Fine, sir. How
fine,
are
inshallah?
You?
Yes. Okay, that's great. Ali Nasir, how are
you?
Alhamdulillah,
alhamdulillah.
Alhamdulillah. And Fawad Haider?
Fine.
Okay, thank you so much, brothers and sisters, for joining us today. In this session, again, we have our brothers from Sevier International School. So we are going to, inshallah, hold another Quranic session for you. So, respected brothers, today, inshallah, in this session, we will be working on the 15th ayah or verse number 15 of Surah Al-Baqarah in chapter 1 of the Quran Karim, in part 1 of the Quran Karim. So, this ayah is also very much important, explaining about the previous ayah, about the hypocrites, okay? It's the continue of the previous ayah that we learned in the previous session. So, before we start, let's listen to ayah 15 and also ayah 16 of Surah Al-Baqarah.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim wa yamudduhum fi tughyanihim ya'mahun. Ulaika alladhina ishtaraw ad-dhalalata bil-huda. فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ.
Okay, alhamdulillah, nice recitation. Now let's recite together. Listen and repeat, all right?
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون
الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون
أحسنت Next آية أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى
أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى
فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين
فما ربحت تجارتهم وما كانوا مهتدين
أحسنت ما شاء الله ما شاء الله In the previous ayah, Allah Almighty was saying that whenever the hypocrites, they meet the believers, they said, we are believers. Amanna, yes? قالوا amanna. And whenever they get alone with their devils, with their, like, the same people as themselves, okay, the hypocrites, the other ones, they would say that, إِنَّا مَعَكُمْ We are with you, not with the believers. Okay? إِنَّا نَحْنُ مُسْتَهْزِئُونَ We're just deriding them. In this ayah, Allah Almighty says that, they are like thinking like this, yes? They are like deriding the believers. Allahu yastahzi'u bihim. Allah Almighty is deriding them. How does Allah Almighty make fun of others? Make fun of hypocrites? Huh?
By not guiding them?
Ah, exactly, exactly. By not letting them understand. Why does Allah Almighty, why He does not like, for example, let others understand? It's because of themselves. It's not Allah Almighty's own wish, okay? Like Allah Almighty, he's so blessing, okay? He wants everyone to be guided, but the hypocrites, they themselves do not want this. They have this inward blindness, that's why, okay? They have the free will, okay, to choose the right path, but they do not, so it's their own problem. It's not Allah Almighty's problem. So Allah Almighty is yastahzi'u bihim, okay? Allah Almighty is deriding them by not letting them be guided, okay? So, yes. Then Allah Almighty again says, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ This ayah has a very great message. So the message, what I understood from this ayah is this, that if you are misguided, God forbid, if you are on the wrong path, okay, if someone is on the wrong path, this is, it can be like changed. So he can go to the right path, but this is very much painful that if you are on the wrong path, you continue staying on the wrong path. This is painful, more painful, okay? So if someone comes to you and he guides you, it's okay. It's very good, okay? You become like a good person, believer. But if you stay being non-believer, this is more painful. This is more dangerous in the hereafter. So, وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ يَعْمَهُونَ And Allah Almighty is like... leaving them. He leaves, Allah Almighty leaves them alone, okay? In their rebellion, in the wrong path, okay? So they are bewildered, confused, all right? Sometimes we have pain and we understand what is that pain. This is good. Yes. We can cure it, yes? But this is very much harmful. It's more painful that you have pain and you don't know what is the pain. What part of your body hurts you?
Yes.
Oh, this is much more confusing and painful. So yes. These hypocrites are like this, okay? That they have the pain and they do not understand that they have a pain, and they also do not understand what type of pain they have. The pain of being unknowledgeable. Yes. The pain of being not knowledgeable. The next ayah, Allah Almighty says that they have bought the misguidance. They have bought, okay, misguidance for the guidance, in the cost of guidance. They have bought, for example, the hellfire in the cost of paradise. It means they have lost paradise because of hellfire, and they do not understand. They think this is paradise. No, it's not. So, أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى فما ربحت تجارهم. Their trade, their deal, their contract, whatever they have, okay? They bought something for something, so this trade does not benefit them, does not have any profit for them. وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ And they will not be, and they are not guided, all right?
Yes.
So, may inshallah Allah Almighty stay us, keep us on the right path, inshallah, and protect us from all evils. Now, the tajweed rules in these two ayahs. قلب بالحق تعلق وبغارح راء تألق يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق
الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون doesn't have any serious tajweed rule that we don't know. We know all of them.
Yes.
So, pronunciations of the letters يستهزئ ها and بهم ها يمدهم ها طغيا طا okay and him also ها يعمهون عين and then
ها
ها Those are the pronunciations. Now, and we don't have any mad here. We have only fi, long mad, long vowel. وَيَمُدُّهُمْ فِي طُغْيَانِهِمْ Make sure يَمُدُّهُمْ Sometimes it might happen. يَمُدُّهُمْ No. يَمُدُّهُمْ Short vowel sound, okay? Short dhamma. That's it. In the next ayah, we have some rules. أُولَٰئِكَ We have mad letter and also the hamza in the same word. What type of mad is it?
Wajib muttasil.
Wajib muttasil. They are in the same word. So you got to stretch it for six counts. Ula'inka. All right. Alladhina. Now hamzatul wasl in this word will be?
Skipped.
Skipped. You don't need to pronounce this. You skip it. Ula'ika alladhina. Directly kaf will be joined or connected to the letter lam. Alladhina ends with noon sound with fatha. Na, and the next word starts with Hamzatul Wasl. Hamzatul Wasl as well will be skipped here. So two Hamzatul Wasl are skipped here. Ula'inka alladhina Noon is directly connected to the letter Sheen.
Yes.
Ula'inka alladhina tarawu. Tarawu, right? Yes. Here, you gotta, we have Hamzatul Wasl. Again, اشتروا الضلالة همزة الوصل again.
Skipped.
And yeah, lam we have after lam. Lam ta'rif we have after lam ta'rif we have sun letter.
Yeah.
Yes, so lam will be skipped as well. But here we have waw mad. Again, waw mad will be skipped. Do you remember that rule?
Yes, yes.
لَقُلْ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا الضَّلَالَةَ وُضَّلَالَةَ No, not two counts, one count. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُوا Directly, without stretching the sound. وَضَّلَالَ وَضَّلَالَ Not وَضَّلَالَ No, not two counts, just one count. Next, بِالْهُدَى الْهُدَى هَمْزَةُ الْوَسْلَ again. فَوَان فَمَا رَبِحَتْ The pronunciation of the letter ha. How do you say the letter ha?
Ha.
Ha, mashallah. Ha. It is very much important. تِجَارَتُهُمْ هُمْ تِجَا There is a baby alif on the top of تِجَا جِيم It is that alif mad, yes? Alif maqsura, we have. Dagger alif, sorry. Not alif maqsura. Dagger
alif. Stop.
Yeah, yeah.
Change to alif?
Yes. No. You cannot stop here. It's the middle of the word.
Yes.
Yeah?
Yes. Yes.
Can you say, for example,
of course.
Alhamdu? You want to say alhamdu. Can you say alha?
Yeah.
It doesn't have any meaning. So you got to read the word. So tijah, no. Tijaratuhum. All right?
No.
وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ مُهْتَدِينَ You stop here. The long mad or the natural mad will be changed to مَدُّ الْعَارِضِ لِلسُّكُونَ أحسن
yes.
You stretch it more like four counts.
Alhamdulillah.
Okay, I will recite this ayah. You should repeat after me, all right? Since we don't have much time to recite each one of us once. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم
الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون
الله يستهزئ بهم ويمدهم في طغيانهم يعمهون
أحسن طغ وضر هيفيلر طغيانهم
أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى أولئك الذين اشتروا الضلالة بالهدى
You don't have to make a pause here. I mean, there is no sign to stop, okay? But if you stop, there is no problem because the next part has, like, the meaning can be, like, separate from this one, okay?
فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ
So now the whole ayah, Hassan.
أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ
Take a deep breath.
أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ اشْتَرَوُا الضَّلَالَةَ بِالْهُدَىٰ فَمَا رَبِحَتْ تِجَارَتُهُمْ وَمَا كَانُوا مُهْتَدِينَ
Okay, تِجَارَتُهُمْ, alright? Thank you so much. Alhamdulillah, we finished these two verses of the Quran Kareem and Surah Al-Baqarah. Thanks to IRIB English Radio and also Sevier International Schools Network. See you, inshallah, in the next session. Stay with us. All right. So yes. In the next session, inshallah, we'll work on the next ayahs. Verses, I mean. Thank you so much. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadi wa alihi al-tahiri.
Allahumma salli ala muhammad wa ala muhammad wa ajil farajahum.
Let's recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Sevier International Schools.
وصفاته نبع الهدى نرقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
IRIB English Radio.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.